Now, Russia has expanded economic sanctions on Ukraine amid a bitter row in the past weeks over the seizure of three Ukrainian Navy ships and their crews. According to a decree by the Russian Prime Minister, 245 individuals and seven companies, mostly in the energy and defense sectors, were put on the blacklist. Dmitry Medvedev said sanctions were to defend interests of the Russian government, businesses, and people. Now, decrees allow for a freeze on any assets targeted Ukrainians have in Russia. Hostility between the two countries flared back in November after Russia seized three Ukrainian naval ships that had illegally entered Russian waters. Kiev said Moscow blocked the vessels from legitimate passage. Tensions have been high around the Black Sea since Crimea rejoined Russia following a referendum back in 2014. Joining us now out of Madison, Wisconsin, is James Fetzer, Professor Emeritus out of the University of Minnesota, Duluth. Hello, Professor. Pleasure to have you join us back on the program, sir. Your thoughts on this continued row we're seeing still between Ukraine and Russia?
Well, the sanctions per se are not overly significant. We have seen several waves of them now, including retaliation by the European Union. The problem is that since the 2014, when the United States brought about regime change completely improperly, expending some $5 billion U.S. taxpayer dollars, implemented by Victoria Nuland, an undersecretary of state in the Obama administration, and an additional $500 million from George Soros to chase the democratically elected president of Ukraine out and impose a Western stooge, Poroshenko, Ukraine has become a hot spot on the international scene. And with the with removal of U.S. forces in Syria now, which Donald Trump is wisely undertaking, and with the improved relations with the two regions, also as a consequence of his engagement with those countries, I believe we can regard Ukraine as the real serious bone of contention where things might go out of hand and bring about a war between Russia and the West.
So what would you like to see happen in Ukraine to bring an end to this spat between not, you know, Washington and Kiev or Washington and Moscow, but more so between Kiev and Moscow?
Well, the fact is that Poroshenko isn't his own man, and he's not representing the interests of the Ukraine. He's rather a stooge of the neocons and the Zionists, sad to say. We've had a situation here, for example, where these three Ukrainian boats precipitated a provocation. They deliberately provoked a Russian Navy to take them into custody. Their own sailors have acknowledged that they were instructed to act aggressively toward the Russians. We had the unfortunate situation where less than a month ago, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg offered Poroshenko the NATO alliance's full support for Ukraine's territorial integrity and sovereignty, even though Ukraine is not a NATO nation. Indeed, it was a part of the solemn agreements between Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev that the West would make no encroachment on the Eastern Bloc nations that would become newly sovereign with the dissolution of the Soviet Union. But since the administration of Bill Clinton, the United States has violated that agreement, and it leaves us in a situation where it's highly precarious. Russia is making it very clear that it is going to defend its own borders. Ukraine historically has strong relations with Russia. It was Zbigniew Brzezinski who, in his book, The Grand Chessboard, explained that prying Ukraine away from Russia would greatly weaken the bear. That was a bad idea then, and these further ongoing efforts by Poroshenko unfortunately are leaving the situation simmering and highly volatile.
Always a pleasure to get your perspective on the program, Professor, out of Madison, Wisconsin. That's James Fetzer, Professor Emeritus out of the University of Minnesota, Duluth.